Say that again? Okay, yeah, so they had a bunch of half-siblings, and that was part of that rivalry that was there. Sometimes we forget that he grew up in a pagan culture where he was considered a foreigner. As they moved back in, and you're like, well, it was the promised land. Yeah, but it wasn't theirs yet. And what kind of environment surrounds that? Well, we can see some examples of that sprinkled into the story, including some immoral actions, some rape and things like that. So this was a rough society that Joseph would have grown up in. And of course, his family himself was pretty rough. Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 11, tells us specifically that Joseph was in a home where his brothers hated him, couldn't speak peacefully to him. And we know that eventually they thought of murdering him. And really, it was Reuben who kept them from doing so, though they eventually sold him into Egypt. And I've had some rivalries with my brother before, and there's been some times when, you know, we were at each other. But I never imagine actually contemplating killing him or selling him off like in that environment. I mean, that was a pretty rough deal. We don't find out till later in the story that Joseph begs them not to do this. He begs and pleads because later his brothers, when they're standing before Joseph and doesn't know that Joseph can hear them, says, "We're in this trouble because we did not listen to his begging." And now you get, oh, so Joseph just didn't go away. He's begging his brothers, "Guys, don't do this. Don't do this to me. You're selling me into slavery, da, da, da." And we don't know all that happened, but it's very possible that he was chained before them. Some believe he could have been chained around his neck, his arms, and his ankles. And who knows where he would have ultimately ended up and sold. Now, we understand from God's standpoint that God was sovereign. He was working all of this out. But doesn't excuse the choices that his brothers made in this process. So he was certainly in a disjointed family. Circumstances do affect people. But this is really important. They do not force people to do anything. Okay? They can make it more difficult, right? But it doesn't force them to do so. And this is something that's really important for us to grasp. And boys and girls, all of you too. If your environment forces you to do something, then you're always a product of your environment. You have no choice. And now you're hopeless. Whereas if you have a choice, then you're not hopeless. You can actually make good choices. And Joseph demonstrates that he is a man that actually can make some really good choices. So let's look at just a couple of things here tonight. One, character does not depend on a perfect family. Character does not depend on a perfect family. Okay, why is that important for all of us? Why is that important? There's no perfect family, right? There's no perfect family. All of us are sinners. All of us are imperfect. So if character depended on a perfect family, then nobody would have character. But it doesn't depend on that. And we've already talked about this a little bit. Joseph's three stepmothers were horrible. And a testimony to Rachel's unwillingness to wait on God's timing, she started the rivalry even deeper than just between Leah and Rachel. Bilhah and Zilpah came into the picture. Before Joseph even knew his name, he was envied by others. They already hated him before they even knew who he was. What a mess. It's interesting. 70% of children who are in juvenile delinquency do so out of some kind of broken home. 57% of all inmates in our prison systems today, and 63% of all teen suicide. Now, again, does that mean it has to be that way? No, it doesn't. But it does present what sometimes is difficult situations for them, and Joseph dealt with that as well. Not only was his stepmom's a mess, but his dad was a mess. What do we know about Jacob primarily? He was a deceiver. He was a supplanter, right? He was a lying, conniving guy. That's who he was, right? And it's like, wow. I mean, we know that. How would you feel, some of you young people in here, how would you feel if you caught your parents lying and cheating to you or to others? It'd make you kind of stand back a little bit, like, what are you doing that for, you know? Well, you tell me to do this, but then you do that. Well, they knew that Jacob was that way. And then, of course, we have Joseph's brothers. We, again, have already mentioned this a little bit, but his brothers absolutely hated him. And not only that, but Simeon and Levi, they murdered an entire city under deceptive means. His sister was raped. Other family members were just a mess. Judah was tricked by his daughter-in-law into an immoral relationship. She played the harlot, the Bible says. And Joseph grew up in all of this environment, if you will. And it's more difficult when our siblings or the people around us are in sin to make good choices. But Joseph did make those good choices. Matter of fact, Luke 14 and verse 26 says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Part of the process of really coming to know Christ is that I'm willing to say Christ is more important to me than all other relationships. And if you have family members, and this goes for adults as well as kids, but if we have family members that support us, what a huge blessing that is. It's a benefit. You know, we think about David. In 2 Samuel, we find that David made a horrible choice. And then he made multiple horrible choices. And as a result of that, multiple family members made horrible choices. I mean, think about Amnon. Amnon, again, a wicked man, again, raped his own sister. And then he was killed by his own brother. Now, Absalom, who killed him, committed treason, tried to make himself king. He was brutally killed by hanging from a tree. Adonijah tried to make himself king. When that failed, he tried to trick Bathsheba into getting him to the throne. He was killed for his treason. And then there's Solomon, who initially made good decisions to seek the Lord. Now, he eventually turned away from those things. But again, it emphasizes to us that even in difficult home situations, we can choose to do what's right. Not only that, but character doesn't depend on our good environment. Joseph and his family were foreigners. My wife's going to run back to the nursery here real quick because I'm going to use Carrie here in just a minute, okay? It tells us that in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 1 that they were in a strange land. That was not their native land, okay? And that creates some really difficult processes. How many of you have ever been in a country other than your native language country? You've been there, okay? Raise your hand, all right? Wow, man, almost everybody, okay? Miss Carrie's coming here. I put her on the spot here tonight. She was in the nursery. She's going to do a little exercise for us tonight. So here you go, Miss Carrie. Just have a little conversation with us.
Okay. 안녕하세요. 황연합니다. 여러분께서는 우리는 한 주 늦게 하고 있어요. 우리는 다시 교회에서 모을 수 있으니까 행복합니다. 합니까? 행복합니까? 우리 지난주 못 모여서요. 그래서 목사님은 마음이 상했어요. 우리 모두 다 하느님께서 목사님을 위해서 축복되고 있어요. 우리는 목사님한테 감사하고 사랑하는 표시 할 수 있어서 우리는 박수 한번 합시다. 모두 다 목사님한테 박수합시다. 박수합시다. 감사해요. 우리는 사랑해요. 목사님하고 사모님께서는한테 사랑하세요. 그리고 우리는 하느님한테 감사해야 되지 않아요? 해야지요.
How many of you understood that, right? I understood the clapping part, but we don't have a clue what we were clapping for, right? Like, it's, you could have been in real trouble there, right? When you're immersed in another environment, doesn't it make you feel different? Like, it's like, I don't have a clue what they're saying. I remember specifically one time being in the country of India, and we're sitting around a old potbelly stove, which was their only heat, and it was blistering cold. We were in northern India, right at the Himalayan mountains. And the people around the potbelly stove, the fire there, would they would be like, they'd be talking back, and then they'd look at me. And they're talking back and forth, and I'm like, okay, I figured out that they're talking about me, but I have no idea what they're saying, right? Like, are they saying they're going to eat me for supper, or, you know, what's going on here? And it just makes you feel a little nervous, and you're like, I don't know what that sign says there, and I don't know what that market sign says and all that. Okay, that may not seem like a big deal to you, but when you're immersed there after a while, it's kind of like, wait a minute, I would just like to know what's going on here. Well, Joseph and his family grew up that way. In a foreign country. Now, obviously, when you're there, you can eventually start learning language and those kinds of things. But isn't it interesting that when we want to speak what's most comfortable to us, most of us go back to what is our native language. That is, I think I've told you this story before, but we were in Honduras with Mike and Haki Adams, and Mike asked Haki to pray for one of our meals. And Haki asked him if she could pray in her native tongue, which was Korean, which is what Carrie was just speaking to us there. And she prayed for the meal. Why? Because if she wanted to really communicate with God, she wanted to do it in her native tongue. Though Haki could speak then, she could speak that, she could speak English, she could speak Spanish. Now she's learning another language as well, and I won't tell you what that is. You should know that. But anyway, because we're live streaming. But anyway, it's amazing when we get back to that. So Joseph grew up that. He felt that way growing up and all these difficulties. And Joseph's life was an easy one. It was a shepherd's life. Sometimes he would spend days, weeks out in the shepherd's fields. And we know, of course, the environment around him, we've already talked about, was pretty wicked. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 15, it's what comes out the mouth comes from the heart. Evil and thoughts and murder and all those things, it comes from within a person. And Joseph was living around all that, and then eventually he was around that in Egypt as well. He was in an environment in which it was perfectly normal to be wrong from God's standpoint. It was no problem. But in the midst of that, Joseph still chose to do right. And then we see the third area is that Joseph's character flourished under positive influence. He did have some positive influence. We'll go back again to his dad. Though his dad had some deception and deceiving aspects in him, he also had some good things because God changed his name in Genesis chapter 32 to Israel. And God says, your character is no longer going to be plagued by deceit and trickery, but you're going to be a prince with God. And Jacob's life, we can see some clear things that took place after that. But remember, Joseph was already born by that time, so he had grown up somewhat with a father who was deceptive and tricked him. But not only that, but we know that Joseph had a relationship with his heavenly father. Joseph is mentioned in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22. He learned to trust God in every situation, didn't question him, though the circumstances really seemed unfair to him. We won't tell you everything that's going to happen, but you guys know the story. Let's say it this way. I know what I would have been thinking when I was put in the pit. That'd have been bad enough. Sold into Egypt. And then everywhere I go, I do my best, but it gets worse for me. It's not getting better, it's getting worse. So I do my best in the house of Potiphar, and she lies through her teeth about me, and I'm put in jail there. And then I do my best there, and the guy that I helped get out of prison forgets me for 2 years. How do you forget a guy that helped you get out of prison like he told you it was going to happen? How do you just forget him? I love that passage of scripture where the butler says, I do remember my faults this day. Oops, I forgot him 2 years ago, you know? And by the way, in just a few minutes, Joseph's going to be his boss. And he's going to be Potiphar's boss too, and so forth. So amazing when you think about this story. It is rare Boys and girls, I want you to listen to me, but adults, we need this too. It is rare for someone to maintain the same character in a pit, in slavery, in prison, and in palaces. It's rare. Some people can handle the pit and the prison pretty good, but they can't handle the prosperity. Some people can handle the prosperity because, after all, God's been really good to me. I don't have a whole lot to worry about, but they can't handle the pit. Joseph learned that, demonstrated that he could handle it all. And it didn't change him. His character was consistent throughout that. The truth is, God does not let any of us, nobody in this room, use excuses that our life was too difficult to serve him. No matter our background, no matter our environment, no matter what, God says, you can choose to serve me no matter what. And Joseph chose to do that. And that's an important lesson for children, teenagers, and adults alike, that we can make the choice that God wants us to make. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Joseph, an incredible testimony for us. Thank you for a great time of laughing and enjoying each other tonight, but also this time in your word, learning about this character. What a blessing that is. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to meet together tonight. Be with our people that are still not allowed to be here, are still struggling with some sickness and things. Would you just give them strength? Heal their bodies, we pray. We'd love that. And we pray that bless our time of fellowship now as we go, and the food that we're about to have. In your name we pray. Amen.